Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. My guest today is James Raffin, an accomplished Arctic explorer who writes and speaks extensively about the Arctic. James has written for Canadian Geographic and National Geographic and has published several books on the North. His latest book, Circling the Midnight Sun, is about to be released by HarperCollins Canada, and that's what I'm hoping to talk with him about today. So James, thanks very much for joining the program.
Hi, Amanda.
Can you tell me about Circling the Midnight Sun, how it came about and what it has entailed?
I've spent part of every year for a long time, since the mid-70s, in the Canadian Arctic, and have undergone something of a metamorphosis in my own thinking, starting as a biologist and finishing up more in the camp of cultural geography or anthropology. The difference being I went to look at the natural sort of history or natural features of the area and was kind of overtaken by the people who live there and their wisdom. So with climate change really causing everybody to look north, I thought it'd be nice to put a human face instead of that of a polar bear on the north. So, and then I just thought, well, I've seen a lot of the Canadian north. Why not meet the neighbors? So I thought, well, I'll go around the world at the Arctic Circle. And that's how the book came to be.
You've talked about wanting to uncover and share the wisdom of the North. Can you speak to that and what you mean by that?
Well, I guess it's maybe 10 or 15 years ago, biologists went into the equatorial rainforest looking for cures for diseases of the, you know, emerging diseases of the Middle Earth, new compounds that might have been used by people in the rainforest. And similarly, I think there's wisdom in the North that could be brought here on the problems of the Middle Earth that are emerging now. And so it was really things that I had learned in my own studies and travels in the North that had really profoundly shifted how I think about the world, that I thought might be better to be kind of studied and compared moving around the world to talk to different people who live in the other parts of the circumpolar North.
You talk a bit in your book about how one of the struggles is that a lot of the wisdom and the stories come in languages that aren't accessible to people in, as you call it, Middle Earth. What do you suggest for that? I mean, is your book part of trying to give them a voice?
I wouldn't try to give them a voice. I think of the book more as an amplification system. Northerners all have voices and they all have points of view, but they tend to get drowned out by the noise of other types of pursuits. In the North, the other types of pursuits have to do with science, they have to do with sovereignty, they have to do with the sort of politics and realities of resource extraction. And when I have been most moved by Northern voices, they're often quiet voices and voices that are speaking. They're not voices that you hear on the radio or on TV. They're voices you hear in a canoe or in a boat or on a snowmobile or in a tent or in a snow house or a chum or something. And so the effort here was really just to take those voices and boost their signal a little bit and to bring them to audiences who might not otherwise get a chance to hear them.
You mentioned sovereignty. Do you feel that Arctic countries are doing enough to protect and manage their northern parts of the land? Or do you feel that Arctic sovereignty would be a good thing?
Well, I think sovereignty is important. National borders are important. I don't want to dismiss that. But I do think that sovereignty is a bit of a red herring in the sense that we have the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, which is effectively the constitution of who owns what in the North. And if that doesn't sort of support territorial claims by the eight circumpolar nations, then it provides a way of solving disputes. So sovereignty is there, but there are other big issues in the North that have to do with cultural sovereignty, that have to do with preserving the cultures, promoting and giving the people who live in the North an opportunity to become who they could be, that I think are as important or probably more important than asserting our kind of national concerns at that latitude.
What are some of the key takeaways you've gotten from your travels and in preparing for this book?
probably the main one has to do with how the same appetites that are causing climate change are causing cultural change that is profound and dramatic, sad, and I think in the end, causing humanity to lose memory of who we are at a rate and at a kind of level of permanence that is catastrophic, but it's also something that I think people in the mid-latitudes should know more about, because if they did, we might create different policy, we might think differently about the choices we make with respect to how we inhabit the earth, but also how we honor the people at the margins of society or at the margins of the polar world.
And so is that the impact you hope this book will have, to open their ears?
Yeah, I think so. I really hope that that this book will put that kind of amalgam of voices, that polyphony of voices, in 24 chapters, one kind of time zone at a time, heading east toward the rising sun, in a kind of a collective story that will compel readers to think more and to do more about connecting their own lives to the lives of Northerners. I've set up the book in such a way that a reader can journey around the world at the Arctic Circle, but I hope that's really the beginning of a process that will take them into more learning and maybe even lifestyle changes that would allow them to, I don't know, compel politicians to think differently about the North and to create opportunities for us through the North that we don't have now.
Well, it's a beautiful book. Thank you for sharing a copy of it with me. I've read part of it, and I look forward to finishing it. And it's released publicly September 12th, and people can find out more at jamesraffin.ca. Congratulations, and thank you, James.
Thank you, Amanda.